Good morning. It is so good to see you all here, and good to see we had a good service last week, even though we were small in number. But hey, I always say it doesn't matter how many you have in the church, but it's what's in your heart that matters. If you have your Bibles, I didn't have a certain scripture, but I figured, well, I'd use the first scripture that I was going to highlight in the sermon this morning. So 1 Corinthians 10:31. Today's called being committed. And I'm not talking about being committed to a funny farm, so just being committed to the Lord. And when you get to 1 Corinthians 10:31, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do pray this morning that God, that everything we would do would be centered in you, Father. That God, you would receive the glory, that you would find the things that we say and do and conduct ourselves worthy, Father. And Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would rise up within us today, consume every fiber of our being, Lord. And God, we ask and pray in the name of Jesus that our lives would be changed, that you would make us the witnesses you would have us to be. But Father, more than anything, that we would be committed to you first and always committed in all things and our lives to you. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name, and we thank you, Father. Amen. No, I'm sorry. I still got that tickle in my throat, so I'm just going to have to bear with me here. Being committed to Christ is probably should be our main focus in life. There's so many other things we could be committed to, and there are things in our lives that we, you know, we get committed to school, we commit to our work, to our family, but we must never forget that our commitment to Christ is most important. Being committed to Christ, that's where we draw our strength. That's where we have the ability to live, and Christ working within us. Excuse me. Boy. Christ working within us, that's how we are able to do what we do from day to day. And I want to go back over, and what I've done is I've taken the word commit and I've broken down each letter. So the first one being C is Christ-centered, and I just read 1 Corinthians 10:31, that whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. I think it's so important that we make Christ the very center of our life. When we make Christ the center of our life, we should look to Him to take care of every need. We should look to Him to guide us. We should look to Him for answers. We should look to Him for truth. But everything that we partake of, we should always think of God first. And I really believe this in everything that we do, especially the people that we hang around, what we're involved in our life, because the choices that we make in this world will have an everlasting impact upon our life. Now, if we choose to live for God, if we choose to be Christ-centered, yeah, we're still going to have the mountaintops and the valleys in life, but here's one thing that we're going to find. With the Christ-centered life, we're going to be able to stand through the toughest storms. We are going to be able to make it through the tough times in life. And we're also going to be able to be an effective witness to every single person around us. When we are Christ-centered, it shows the fruits in our life as well. People will know that Jesus is Lord of your life by the way you treat others, by the way that you speak. Now, I heard a preacher preaching the other day a message that was really good, and he said this: people go to church on Sunday and they praise God, they sing the songs, and they worship, and they show how good they are. But Monday through Saturday, he said, they're living like the devil is their best friend. He said, you couldn't tell by their speech that they were actually Christians. And that's not judging. What that I'm saying is that is truth. There are so many people who have made it a habit. They go to church because they've always done it. It's just what I would call a part of their routine. But when you're Christ-centered and you come to church on Sunday, people will know that the joy of the Lord is at work in your life. And Monday through Saturday, the same person that you are in church will be reflected wherever you are and whoever you're around. And if you have a Christ-centered life, you're going to want to read your Bible, and you're going to want to pray. And after hearing about Sheridan being such a prayer warrior, that's awesome. Our young people need to be brought up in the ways of the Lord. If we would be an impact to the younger kids around us, and we would show them the love and the admonition of the Lord, that will stick with them. And as they grow up, they will carry on what was handed down to them. See, the love of the Lord, it is strong. It will endure all things. Everything about God is good, and everything within us should be good. So what we ought to do in our life is we should take inventory of our life. How many of you own a business or work in a business and do inventory? Anybody? Yeah, Laura knows, and Sarah knows all about the inventory. So we need to take an inventory of our life, and we need to see what's there. Are the things in our life, are they bringing glory to God? Or are the things in our life keeping us away from true divine fellowship with our Savior and Lord? If there's things in our life that's affecting our walk with Him, then we need to get rid of those things from our life. Whether it be people, whether it be hobbies or things, whatever it is we're doing, if they're keeping us away from God, then I certainly believe that we should get rid of them. I believe that we are to yield ourselves to God every single day. But our speech, our actions, our lifestyle, our thoughts, if they are God-centered, people will know it, and your life, I guarantee you, will be blessed. Secondly, the O. Overcoming temptation. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And one person that comes to my mind is Paul. You remember what Paul said? Paul said, I want to do what is good, but I end up doing, I want to do the things that I should, but I end up doing the things I don't want to do. Basically what Paul was saying, I want to live by the Spirit, and I want to follow the ways of the Lord, but I keep getting myself back into the flesh, and those are the things that I'm fulfilling. And every single Christian person fights this temptation. But the Bible says that if we watch and pray and that we enter not into the temptation. If we glorify the Lord God and if we live by the Spirit, if the Word is alive inside of us, we should be speaking the Word, we should be sharing the Word, and we should be living the Word day in and day out. If we are watching and praying, this is what it means. It means we are aware as to what's going on around us. Now, I remember reading the stories and watching the movies about people being in the fort. The fort was always on guard against an enemy. There were men in place with weapons, and they were making sure that the fort was secure, that if anybody tried to attack, that they had a strong defense to defend the place where they abided. And in the same way, that's what God wants us to do. We have to make God first in our life, and we have to be aware as to what the enemy is doing all around us. We have to be aware of the things we're doing and saying. And I want to say this. If you're hanging around people who are a negative influence, guess what kind of a Christian life you're going to have? It's going to be a very defeated one. If you hang around people who are always negative, how are you going to feel? Are you going to feel like rejoicing in the Lord and praying after being around somebody who complains all the time? Now I give my wife a hard time now and then. You know, she says, well, yesterday we were doing something, and she said, well, I'm sorry, it took a little longer. And I said, that's all right. I was getting ready to make my camp right here and sleep here tonight. But I was just harassing her. So, and then she just says, oh, wow. But anyway, when we are tempted, and we are going to be tempted, the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. See, when we're watching and praying, and when we're aware of what's going on around us, and when we are prayed up, when we are reading our Word, see, when Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights by the enemy, you know what Jesus did? He didn't get overcome by grief. Jesus didn't sit there and twiddle his thumbs and say, well, what do I do now? He didn't have anxiety attacks. He didn't get depressed. He didn't get overcome by frustration. What Jesus did when the enemy came up against him and tried to make him fall, Jesus said, it is written. And Jesus would speak the Word. That's why the Bible tells us to study and show ourselves approved. Because when we study the Word and when we memorize, now I have a hard time at my age now. I do have a hard time memorizing a lot of things and keeping it. But I'll tell you one thing, when I get into certain battles and the enemy comes up against me, I have scriptures ready that I can quote the Word of God. And I know that when we quote the Word of God against the enemy, the devil will retreat and leave us. And I know and believe that God will minister to us and God will strengthen and lift us up in those moments, because that's exactly what happened to Jesus. The angels would come and minister to him, but he never faltered and he never failed in his times of temptation. But the devil will attack you in your weakest place in life. That's why we have to keep ourselves strong. That's why we have to keep ourselves nurtured and let the Lord work within us in order that we can stand. Now, the first M is mature. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, you know that babies, when they get hungry, what do they want? Babies want a bottle. Babies want to eat. And what happens when a baby starts on formula? A baby takes on that formula, and that baby starts to grow. And as that baby gets teeth, as the baby is able to, the baby can start eating a little bit different, more solid food. And as the baby starts to grow, and as the baby eats the physical food, it will be strengthened in its bones, its body, and it will be in good health. That in the same way for the Christian. If we will partake of the Word of God, when we take part of the Word of God and we read and we fellowship with the Lord, then it gives us a drink that we will never thirst again. But it also, when we're hungry in our spirit, the Word of the Lord quenches the hunger, and only the Word of God can be satisfying to the spirit. Nothing else can satisfy us like the Word of the Lord. And when we partake of the Word daily, we will grow in it. We will mature in our relationships, and we will know how to conduct ourselves as Christian people. How many times does the Bible tell us, do not fear? I can tell you that it's in the Bible over and over and over again that God says, do not fear. But you know what causes the fear? The enemy. And I often wonder, what are we going to look at? Now, I don't know what happens when we die. I know we go to heaven, but I don't know if we're going to get to see the devil. But all I know is that the devil is a spirit, and he got kicked out of heaven. And if he got himself kicked out of heaven, then why are we listening to the lies that he speaks to our minds daily? If the devil got himself kicked out of heaven, well, that's pretty ignorant right there. We already know that the devil's been defeated, but here's something that the devil lost. The devil lost authority. The devil has no authority over your life. The only way he could have any authority is if you give in to him. If you let the devil have your life, and if you start living for him, then you give him a place that he doesn't have the right to. The next M in commit is make study a practice. And here it is, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Have you ever known somebody in your life, or maybe more than one person, that you've heard this said, that person is such a godly man or a godly woman, oh, I would love to be just like them. They were always truthful. They were always joyful. They always knew what to say at the right moment. They always prayed for everybody else. It's basically called making a sacrifice. We have to sacrifice to get into this word. Oh, I know that sometimes it's hard physically in the mind when we're tired or when we get up or whatever. It's hard to open the Word, and it's hard to really get into it and read, because we'd rather turn on the news, we'd rather turn on the TV, or we'd rather get on the phone and get on Facebook, or we'd rather get on the computer and look at ads or whatever, maybe, or whatever. There's everything else around us that the devil wants us to be involved in, and the devil will always say, you don't need to read that right now. Just, this is what you got to, this is important. Let's tend to this situation or this matter. But if we would make it a habit every single day to pick up the Word of the Lord and say, Father, by your Spirit and by your might and by your power, give me wisdom and understanding, and give me the passion to read your word and make your word come alive unto me. Because when we ask God for wisdom and understanding of his word through his Holy Spirit, he will bring revelation of what he's trying to say to us through his holy word. But the importance of it is it builds us up. It makes us strong and it makes us joyful. And then there are, I'm not saying this because I don't want people saying, well, Jim Cooper was this or that. I want people to look at my life and say, God is the one that was in control. God is the one who operated in him. God is the reason for everything that you and I do. We should actually never take credit. So whenever, and I know I always say this, my grandfather, he was a great pastor. He was a great man of the Lord. But it's only because of God working in him and the fact that he yielded himself daily to allow the Lord to move as God needed to in his life. The Holy Spirit made a difference in the lives of so many Christian people that I knew. And I see it at work in this church. There are so many people here that are consumed with the Lord's compassion and love that they go out and they do for others, especially when we have a dinner for people that have lost a loved one, when a meal's been cooked, or whatever it may be that you do, whatever you do in the name of the Lord, I want you to know it doesn't go unnoticed. God will. We should never do things to get admired by people, but we should always do things because we already know that we're loved and admired by the Lord. And that's all that matters. See, when I come to church and preach, I don't come here to preach so that people could say, oh, that was a great message. Oh, he just had so much heart and compassion this morning. I don't do it for that. I preach the word of the Lord because, number one, we need to hear it. We need to obey it. We need to put it at work in our life. And we need to let the word of the Lord penetrate our hearts to change us. That when we come to church and when we leave here, we can truly say we've been in God's house. We have partaken of fellowship with him. And when we leave here, we should be saying, my life has been made whole and I have been made different from when I first walked in this morning. And it's only by studying his word, because when we speak his word never comes back void. That's how much power is in God's word. We should be speaking life into people around us. And that's why I'm in this pulpit today. I'm not here to gain respect. I'm not here to gain friends from what I preach. I am here to do what the Lord God has called me to do. And you know what? There's people who will pass judgment. There are people who will nitpick what I say in pulpits. And that's between them and God. But I will say this, that what I do in this pulpit, I want the Lord to get all of the glory. I want the Lord to get all of the praise. But I hope that what we take out of it is that we take out of it what the Lord wants us to hear. Interest. Colossians 3:2 says, to set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, I tell you what, when I was a young guy, everybody around me, make sure you go to college. Make sure that you get a good paying job. Make sure that you get a good retirement. Make sure you have good insurance. You're going to live a lot of years on the face of this earth, and you need to be set. You need to have everything taken care of. You never know when a dark time is. Well, and that I used to be consumed with a lot of grief. because people always telling me all these different things and how to do it. And when I started to set my things on the mind of this earth and the things of the human race, I got troubled in my own heart. And the first time I read Colossians 3:2, that we're supposed to set our affections upon things that are above. Now, I'll say this. God put us here. We have to get a job, and it's good to go to school, and it's good to have training. It's good to know things. It's good to have knowledge. But here's the thing. Don't base your life on every single thing that happens on the face of this earth. Put your trust in the Lord God above. Trust God with your future. Trust God with your life. Trust God for your family. Trust God to take care of every single need that you will ever have. Because when you trust God, God is the one, if He knows every need, then He'll provide for the need. God is the one who knows when you're sick. God is the one who knows when we face times of death in our family and with our friends. God is the one who knows when our back is against the wall, when we feel like we're the only one who is suffering with what we're going through. But God is the one who is a friend, that He is a friend that sticks closer than any brother. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. God created you. And when we put our faith and our trust in things that are up above within heaven, it's because God is saying those things are eternal. You're not going to be here eternally. You will not be in this physical body for years ahead. The time is coming that we will all die, or the time is coming that the rapture will happen, and we will go and stand before the Lord. And I want you to know this. If you invest in the kingdom of heaven, greater your reward will be. But if you put and sow your seeds into everything upon this earth, see, the things of this earth are going to pass away. They're going to be gone. Don't make your kingdom on the face of this earth, and don't base your life upon everything that's on this earth, but do it for the glory of the Lord God. God will take care of every single need in your life. And that's what Jesus preached. Jesus kept telling people that He was about His Father's work. He was about His Father's kingdom. And that's what He's wanting us to be ready for today. See, you don't know when. Yeah, like I said, it's good to have a job, good to have retirement. It's good to look into those things. But are we asking God for the path of life that He wants us to trod? Are we asking God, what should we do in these situations first? When we always turn to God first, God will provide the answers that we're looking for. I see too many people today, they'll turn to everybody else and they'll say, well, what should I do? Have you gone to the Lord first? I know we like to talk to others because, you know, talking physically, it's great to have somebody, and it is good. It's good to have Christian brothers and sisters around us. But here now, and it's okay to talk to others, but have you gone to God first? Because when you go to God first, then God will put somebody in your path sometimes that you can sit and pray with and talk to. How many of you have ever had someone in your life that you really went to a lot, that you knew God put them there for a reason? And I thank God for my grandparents. And I got their picture hanging on my wall that when I'm getting ready of a morning, or I go in there, and I've got a little basket and I lay my keys and stuff in there and a little whatever, pocket change. And I look up and I see that picture. And I know that these are the two people that God put in my life because they taught me the ways of the Lord. They showed me the love of Jesus. They invested into my life. They deposited in me everything that I would need, and I knew that God was working through them. And when the day finally came that I got saved, I knew there was a reason that they were put there for me. My grandparents used to tell me a lot, and I've told you I wasn't raised in a good environment. I wasn't. And I know my parents were misguided, whatever, by their lifestyle or how they were raised. But my grandparents used to always tell me, I wish we could have adopted you because we would have given you so much better. But you know what? They did give me what was... They gave me the things that the Lord put upon them. They invested in my life. They discipled me. They raised me up in the Word of the Lord. And they would send me cassette tapes for me and my sister to listen to. And they always gave us Bible scripture. They always prayed with us. So see, these are things. And I'm thankful for all of this. But I always have to look to the Lord God first. And I always have to put everything in heaven first. Then lastly, commit, the T. We have to take Satan seriously. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You and I can't see it with the physical eye. But right now, there is a war going on in the spiritual realm of this world. And do you know who the prince of this world is? The devil. Satan is trying to drag everybody with him that he can into hell, and he does it by lies and deceit. The fight that you and I are up against, it's not a physical fight. You and I as Christian people are not supposed to be warring against one another in the church. But that's what the devil wants. The devil wants the church divided. The devil doesn't want you to know Christ. He doesn't want you to grow in Christ. He doesn't want your life to be any different. So Satan has his ways with every person and with every person's personality and the way that they think and do things. And the devil will use those areas of a person's life to try and conquer and divide the church. Why do you think we have so many church buildings across America and around the world? Because a church gets started and people come to church and the devil has been at work and there are people who are caught up in so much pride and arrogance. They come into church and they don't care what they do and what they say or how they act. They want things their way. They want to do everything their way, and they expect everybody to follow along like they're some spiritual Pied Piper. And it happens in every church house. God is the one who is in charge of the church, not us. We need to get to a humbled place in our life where we realize we don't control people in the Lord's house. We don't. We all have responsibilities, but we are not in control. God is the one. And that's why every church has ever divided, why people leave, because we bring judgment, we bring falsehoods, we bring our own ideas and our own ways into God's house, and then it starts to grow. It spreads like a weed, and it will choke out a church. And then people get mad at one another. They have fights. And then these people say, we're going to leave and go over here, and we're going to build our own church, and we're going to start over. Well, guess what happens? The people who have left and took the root with them, the root of evil, they've just planted another weed. See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we have a spiritual fight. And it's up to you and I as Christian people to recognize this. And the only way we can recognize it is to look at it for what it is. It's from the devil, and it's time for you and I as Christian people to put our foot down and say that we are not going to allow Satan back into our church. We will not let Satan into our fellowship, and we will not let Satan destroy what God wants to do. It's time that you and I as Christian people raise up in the church and we pray together and we stay together, because we need folks in the church. And it's time that we get these seats filled up. That's all of our job together. And the devil wants to destroy it. The devil has power, but the devil does not have authority. Don't let the devil's power into your life. You are a child of the living God, and when you commit your ways to Him, when you are Christ-centered, and you study your Word, and you live for Him and abide in fellowship with Him, then guess what's going to happen? Your life is going to be blessed, and your life is going to grow. And I'll tell you, sadly, I've had in my ministry years, I had to walk away from churches where there were strongholds. And I prayed and I prayed and I preached the messages and tried to love the people. And I tell you what, there's been times that I had to, the Lord said, all right, it's time to shake the dust off your shoes, go on to the next place, because if these people aren't going to listen to what's being spoken to in the pulpit, then there ain't never going to be any change. And that's the simple truth. I don't preach these messages to be mean to people. What I do is I preach these messages because the Lord is saying something to us. It is time that we quit being spiritual little babies and we grow up to be the disciplined Christian people that God meant us to be. To quit the bickering and the fighting and to start loving others around us. I don't care what color somebody's skin is. I don't care how much money they have in the bank. I don't care whether they take a bath once a week. I don't care what kind of a vehicle they drive. But what I do care about is their heart. Are they getting fed by the Word of God? Am I loving them enough? And if not, then I need to go readjust my priorities. And I need to start getting into this Word. See, being committed, it doesn't mean just Sunday morning and then go live how you want. Because you know what? Every single one of us will stand before God and we'll take an account for our life. You know who I'm responsible for? Right here. I'm responsible for this guy. And I think today, right now, we need to take a look at our hearts and lives and ask ourselves, are we really committed? Are we really doing what God wants us to do? If we aren't, we need to make changes right now. Because I'm telling you, when you leave this earth and you stand before the Lord, it's too late. If you're not a Christian, and if you've never given Jesus your heart and life, and you've never lived for Him, and you guess what? It's too late. You just bought yourself a one-way ticket to an eternity in hell. And if you're not living your life for the Lord right now like you ought to be, there's an altar open. Church shouldn't be casual anymore. When we have an altar call, We ought to have people at the altars praying. We ought to have people praying for revival. We ought to have people saying, "Have thine own way, Lord, and change my heart." That's what it's all about.